We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox are here from IG Private Wealth Management. You can call now and leave a message at 905-529-7165, or you can check out the website, andyanddon.com, andyanddon, all one word, .com. There you can listen to old shows and ask a question via the listener inquiry button. Andy Lister, Don Fox in the studio with us now. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Scott.
Good to see you.
All right. How to have a great retirement, a positive retirement.
Or even an optimistic retirement.
An enjoyable, optimistic retirement.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Andy and I, every time we do a financial plan for people, we do what we call a stress test.
Right.
And we take a look, okay, what if you live to 100? What if there's a market correction? What if interest rates go down? What if interest rates go up? You know, there's so many different pitfalls. What about the sequence of return risk? If, you know, there's some bad years earlier and then good years later.
Can't predict the world.
We can't. But at the same time, you know, what if we flip that over and said, okay, because we don't want to really just have a whole truckload of money and save in case for everything. Mm-hmm. We want people to have a great retirement and optimistic retirement and live for in case everything goes well.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because like I said, we look for what if we're in long-term care? What if inflation rates go up? There's so many things we stress all the time when we're doing a plan. But every so often we like to sit back and say, okay, you got to spend some money.
Yeah.
Things are growing too well here.
I can't wait for that time.
So again, what if you got a windfall? What if you got an inheritance?
Yeah.
Okay. So what ends up happening is it could lead to a lot of excess wealth. So you're sitting there and you're planning for all the things that might happen, but it's not a great chance all those things could happen.
Right.
But you want to plan for it because nobody wants to run out of money. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest fear that drives everybody. What if I run out of money? But what if you have way too much money? We're not planning for that. So it's kind of interesting. If you took a 4% payout and you're 65 years old, and if you lived a 30-year retirement, so it actually doesn't matter when you retired. If you're 60, you live to 90.
Right.
Okay, if you're 65, you live to 95. There's a 10% chance your wealth could be six times greater in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You'd end up with way too much money. And so here you are underliving for so many of those years. You're not living life to the fullest because you're playing the just-in-case game the whole time. And so who ends up winning out of this? Probably the government.
Yeah.
Because you end up saving a whole bunch, and then there's a big, giant capital gain at 53.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that's the bracket you'd be in. You'd only pay half that in capital gains, but your cottage, of course, would be taxed then. There's the RSPs that would be taxed at 53.5%, being RIFs at that time. So at the end of the day, you're saving a lot of money and there'll be a huge tax bill at the end. And I hate to see the government get half of that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, okay, your beneficiaries, you know, they're going to get one heck of a windfall. Not the end of the world, but boy, it would have been nice to do that world trip you were planning on, but you just didn't know you had enough money.
Right.
Okay. Or maybe you wanted that better car. You know what? This one's okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? We get past this and next thing you know is we're at a certain age and I don't really have the energy to do that stuff anymore anyway.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't really care about those cars anymore. And it's funny how people change. So what we like to do is just try to have a realistic view of things. So right now, 4% is designed to prevent you from running out in case of disasters, but there's a 10% chance that you'll end up with less than what you started with.
Hmm.
Just a 10% chance.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a 10% chance you'll end up with six times more than you started with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny what we all concentrate on is the bottom 10%. Nobody's really planning for the top 10. So, and with life expectancy, I know everybody's living a little longer. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to go through that in a bit, the probability of how long you live. And so Andy and I, we do what's called a Monte Carlo analysis. And what that is we look at the sequence of returns. So a perfect example, let's say a portfolio averages 6% per year.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, no problem, tickety-boo. Well, that doesn't mean you should be pulling out 6% per year. Because when they have a negative year, such as last year, and so let's say you did a minus 6 last year, you're pulling out money during that year. And that's when your portfolio is going down, not only by the 6% it went down, but also by the 6% you're pulling out. So it's down 12% in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make up for that. So you do have to have a bit of a cushion between what the average rate of return is and the pullout rate. how much you're pulling out in terms of percentage. Now, the other end of it, let's say you said, well, instead of using 4% payout rate, we're going to do a 5% payout rate, and we're going to adjust that by inflation every year. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, and I don't think most people would play these odds, there's a 25% chance you're going to go broke. Hmm. You're not going to make it to the 30-year mark. You're going to run out of money somewhere along the line. Even though your investments may have averaged 6%, mm-hmm. you'll end up, because of the sequence of returns, there's a 1 in 4 chance you will run out of money. Hmm. So we don't want to say, okay, just raise the payout rate. But what you can do is take a look at, okay, well, this has been a great year. So let's say the first few years were pretty good. Well, why not give yourself a bonus? Give yourself a bit of a break. It says, well, we've had a few good years. I just retired 3 years ago, 3 positive years right in a row. Right from the get-go, that's the biggest risk you have, is when you first retire, you get into negative years. Mm-hmm. But if you got right into positive years, well, there's a good chance you're going to never run out of money.
Wow.
And you'll have tons. So at the same point, don't be afraid to maximize your fun.
And don't retire during a negative year.
Well, that's actually a good point too, you know.
Yes.
You're very, very, very true. Because you go back to, say, 2007, mm-hmm. people put off the retirement. Great idea, okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to pull from their investments in what happened in 2007, 2008. Yeah. 2009 turned out to be a great year. Mm-hmm. Started off awful, you know, the first couple months, but then it popped up. But that person, the exact same amount of net worth, one retires 2007, one retires 2009, drastically different retirement.
Wow.
So the one retiring 2009 should pay themselves bonuses to have a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you really want to maximize your fun. That's why you put all this money away anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's kind of funny, what got you to the point of having your wealth is what keeps you from spending the wealth.
It's the discipline. It's the peace of mind and security.
Yeah. And you had this discipline all those years to save it, and it's hard to turn off that tap. Mm-hmm. Mentally, it's hard. You've got this great habit of putting away money, and you love seeing it grow, and it's hard to start pulling it out.
Yeah.
And I have this struggle with clients all the time. So part of it's kind of interesting. I always say, I joke that I says, I'm a terrible financial planner because I'm trying to get you to spend your money.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it says, by the end of the day, it's more than money. It's about lifestyle, having a great time, mm-hmm. enjoying life, because that's what the money was for. Mm-hmm. It's when you save money, it's delaying gratification. Now, who do you want to delay this for? Okay. Are you delaying it so that the government will be happier?
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to be happy at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Or are you delaying this gratification so the kids will be happier? Maybe.
Yeah.
But I certainly think some of it should be delayed, that savings should be delayed for your own happiness.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting. We do have this longevity risk right now. And so there's a program that I noticed that came out, and it's done by an actuary. And I don't have the name right here, but I can get that for you. But it's quite an interesting program. Basically, you put your age in there and your spouse's age and your health condition, and also if you smoke. So it really gives an idea of what are the chances you're going to live to a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through, it's called a Longevity Illustrator. So if you just, if you Googled Longevity Illustrator, you'll come up to this website. So I put in my wife and I, and we're both 56.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, what's the chance of making it to 65?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully, it's pretty high. It's about a 97% chance.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, good thing. It basically, it's a hit by the bus kind of scenario where you might have some kind of unexpected death. But
accident.
May as well just spend like drunken sailors.
Yeah, that's right. No kidding. Have a great time for the next 9 years. But then it goes down and says, well, what's the chance, go to the other end, of living to 100? Well, Leslie's chance of living to 100 is 16, where my chance is 9%.
Hmm.
And that's just based on female versus male.
Right, yeah.
Okay, because I put in both of us have excellent health. Mm-hmm. Both of us are non-smokers. Mm-hmm. So everything else was the same other than gender. Mm-hmm. So then, but the cool thing about this program, it breaks it down even more. So you say, okay, well, what chance of lifestyle can you have? So you look at, how much money do you really need? Because there's a chance both of you are going to, the chance of both of you living to a certain age is a lot less than just one of you making it to a certain age. Okay. So, for example...
So, honey, I'm going to spend the money. You just sit on the couch there.
There's only a 10% chance both of us will live 38 more years to 94. 10% chance. Yet there's a 43% chance one of us will make it to 94. Actually, one of us might make it to 97. 43% chance. And, there's a 10% chance... the 43% chance that both one of us will make it that far. So it's really interesting. So you're looking at the chance that somebody's going to be single for a while. Okay, it's just unlikely. So I'll put that more.
So really, you only have to save money for one.
That's what I'm getting at. Why are we saving all this money? Because you're going to cut the cost somewhere down the road. So interesting enough, at age 91, as an example, that's 35 years from now. There is a 20% chance that both of us will be around at age 91. Yeah. So 1 in 5 chance. Mm-hmm. At that exact same age.
Will you
age,
still be my financial planner then?
Absolutely, Scott. No problem. No, you're the same age as me too. Yeah. So that's a good bet to have.
Yeah, there you
we'll
go.
Both be 91. That's good. I like that one. At that same time though, what's the chances of just one of us? So both of us, there's a 20% chance that both of us make 91. What do you think the chance of that just one of us will make 91?
30.
70.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a 70% that just one of us will hit 91. And only a 20% chance that both of us will. So there's a 50% chance in between those two that somebody's on a dating site at 91. Because they are definitely single or probably just said, finally, I got peace on by myself. Thank God. But at the end of the day, this is a really powerful program, and it puts it statistically right in front of you what your longevity is. And so I play this game often in the office. It's called the 100 pennies. And I say, okay, you start off with you're going to live to 100, say. Well, then I say, well, how long do you think you'll really live? Well, most people say 90. Mm-hmm. So you take 10 pennies away, so you're down to 90 pennies. And then you say, well, how old do you know? Well, 65. Well, I take off another 65 pennies. So now you got 25 pennies. Well, the last 10 pennies aren't usually good years. You're not spending a lot.
Right.
So you got 15 pennies. And those are the years that you can spend your money. And like I said, if you got 15 years to maximize your fun and you've done everything right, you deserve to maximize your fun.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox are here from IG Private Wealth Management. You can call now and leave a message. They'll return your call at 905-529-7165. We're coming right back. We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox are here from IG Private Wealth Management. You can call them now and leave a message at 905-529-7165 and take a peek at the website, andyanddon.com. You can listen to old shows there and ask a question via the listener inquiry button. Talking about cost versus outcome.
Yes, and just before we get to that, I did find that link.
Oh, so there it is.
Yes,
yep.
Thank you. And so if anybody wanted to Google that site about, showing the longevity illustrator, just Google how much can I afford to spend in retirement by Ken Steiner, Steiner. And you will get to this U.S. He's a retired actuary, and he goes through a lot of blogs, but in there's a calculator, and that's where this particular data came from.
And he's retired. I wonder if he knows exactly the day he's going to die.
He knows the chances.
That's it. He's got the percentage.
He's got the probability all figured out.
I wonder if that changes how you live your life, literally.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Being that aware of what the statistical odds are.
One spouse is a financial planner. The other one does that.
Actually, that would be terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Now, that would be a Sunday dinner.
I said maximize fund, not minimize fund.
It's kind of like finding the sweet spot, right? Exactly. Yeah. How much can I spend and how quickly so that I know I'm not going to run out. Mm-hmm. Depending on how much you want to leave in terms of an estate. True. You know, some people are motivated to leave a large estate, and that might mean just foregoing a lot of that and just, you're still gung-ho to increase the value of your net worth over time.
And I bet you the kids maximize the fun.
Yeah. They would in turn.
They wouldn't be saving.
I know I would.
Well, you know what? it's true, because I can think of many a story, you know, and clients of ours that have, we've either attended funerals that mm-hmm. they've passed away, and in talking with their adult children, how many times have you heard them say, you know, I wish mom and dad had just spent more or enjoyed more of
Is
their
that
money.
Right, eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because,
or maybe we did trips or something together, yes. one last,
exactly.
last, whatever.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Because, you know, they begin to, as it unfolds in terms of how much the estate's going to be and what's being passed on to the next generation, they can't help but think, boy, did they underlive.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, why have that regret at the end of the day? You know, and you're going back, they'd rather have their parents to hang around with and those memories. Yeah. And this is why, you know, it's actually, in a way, it's actually selfish to underlive, because you don't have those memories and those pictures up in the room of those good times, as opposed to you're squirreling away money sitting at home.
Yeah.
You know, not as much fun.
Yeah.
So over the course of the week, we have a lot of respect for our listeners, because I think they're an intelligent group of people, and obviously
They're listening now.
Yeah, you're very interested in learning about finances and how to improve your own financial outcome over the long term as well. And probably if this is the show you're listening to, you're probably also reading and paying attention to other financial information that's out there. And so that's great, because a lot of times people just, you know, we're just not interested in it. Yeah. Like a lot of subjects, it's complex, it's constantly changing, and it can be overwhelming for people.
Yeah.
So for those of you that are listening, you're probably already inclined to be more motivated to pay attention to this stuff. And so that's fantastic, because that means your outcomes are going to be probably better than the average person as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of commercials out there, and a number of listeners have asked us, you know, can you explain to us, or explain to me, what would be the difference if I was working with you at IG Private Wealth, or versus, say, a Wealth Simple or a Quest Trade,
that's a do it yourself, though, is it not? Or,
well, that's exactly sort of where this ends up going, is trying to understand the difference between what we would focus on cost versus the outcome.
Right.
And so in our world, we can offer a low cost situation where people pay very little through ETFs and that type of investment, but really then there's no input or advice that goes along with that, and so it is more of a do-it-yourself scenario, and so and most of the advertisements today, which are focusing on cost, don't really have any capacity to prove or provide or show what the outcome is going to be.
Right.
And so, you know, left to our own devices, you know, you're listening today, you're trying to gather information to make decisions about your investments, about your tax planning, about everything. And financial planning comes down, there's six disciplines, and investment planning is one of those six disciplines. So it's an important piece, and it's important to understand what you're paying, and you want transparency, and you want clarity in terms of what it is, what it's costing. And then, but what we've been able to demonstrate over time is that the outcome, your actual result, as you look at your net worth growing a year after year or over the course of time, how much more your net worth is going to be when we don't just focus on cost.
Yeah.
And so, and that can involve so many different areas. It could be tax planning. It could be part of your investment planning, et cetera. And a lot of the commercials, they talk about, well, there was one, I think they talked about that the investment advisor was retiring.
Right.
He was going to be handing over.
To his new.
I'm going to be handing over your investments to.
His little kid.
To Ruth or whoever it is. But the key thing is, I'm handing over your investments.
Yes.
Because really all they're saying is that I've been monitoring your investments, or I've been helping you with your investments, and you've been paying a lot for that.
Yeah.
And so an alternative is handle it yourself, right? And pay a lot less.
Right.
And so for you as an individual, you have to decide, what outcome am I getting? And I just read, I was away on holidays and I was reading, it's still about financial planning.
Yeah.
And
take that vacation.
I know.
Andy.
One of the interesting articles I read was the impact what December did, and that market downturn that we had in December. And one of the ways to understand how people are reacting or responding when you're just dealing with this perhaps on your own is in that market downturn, there was a net exit. So money left the ETF world, the exchange traded fund, the low cost do it yourself investments in the equity area, the stock type area. There was negative outflows of about $32 million in Canada, $32 million in Canada. Whereas, you know, the previous December, there was inflows of like $600 million. Mm-hmm. So people were taking money out when the market was down.
Right.
And just out of curiosity, Andy, how many clients took money out because the market was down in December for you?
Zero.
Yeah. And I had zero. Now, how many people called you saying, well, the market's down? What do you think?
We had questions, you know, but even fewer of that, because one of the things that's so important is to understand or educate people about the volatility of their investments and understanding that it's never a straight line. We know that.
Yeah.
And that's easy to forget, right? Because emotion and the fear or the anxiety around a market downturn, becomes quite to the point where people start to lose sleep. They're not sure what to do, and they want advice.
Plus, these commercials are assuming that these mothers and fathers and people who are do-it-yourselfers know as much about this as a financial planner does, or anybody who's in the financial industry.
Right.
And again, you guys have talked many times about wills, whatever, and it's just not top of mind for people. It's something that they push off.
That's right.
So are you going to take something that you push off and do it yourself? I mean, can you build a garage? Are you going to call someone to do that?
If you have a very small portfolio, say $25,000, and you make a 10% mistake, $2,500 mistake. Still a lot of money for them, but it's $2,500. If you have a 10% mistake on $1 million portfolio, that an advisor could have stopped that from happening. For example, as Andy just said, taking money out at the wrong time. Yeah. Perhaps not taking out money while at lower tax brackets and leaving money to the government at 53%.
Yeah.
And it ends up, your net worth ends up being down tremendously because of those mistakes.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, what is actually less expensive in the long run?
Yeah.
Good advice or cheap investments?
Well, to me, these remind me of like Home Depot spots. You know, don't call a plumber. You can put that toilet in yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That might be easy. This is something
I end up calling a plumber eventually anyway. Yes, well, two jobs, one to fix what I did.
Yeah, exactly.
and one to put in the toilet.
Right. Yeah.
But that goes back to Don's comment too, is that if you had a small portfolio or that the potential loss or outcome of a loss isn't going to be great, then you might be willing just to do it on your own. But the more complex it gets or the bigger the project gets, you know, how much of that are you going to take on yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sort of patting the back our listeners, because I think they're an intelligent group and many of them might be able to do this on their own, and a lot of it. But because you don't do it every day, and you don't see all the
different
the different scenarios or options that exist out there, because you know you're familiar with your own option. You might talk to your friends a little bit about it or your family, but you know, we see hundreds of scenarios that have overlap that might apply to you, that are strategies or analogies that we can use to help keep you and guide you on the right direction.
And a lot of things aren't even to do with the actual investments. This is the key part, is the tax planning. Should you take your Canada pension plan early? Should you delay it? What about old age security? What about income splitting? There's so many questions. We open up the onion, and there's another leaf and another one and another one. It's just this Pandora's box.
Yeah. And to me, that's where the value is as a customer of you guys, is that whatever you're doing in your life financially, you can call you guys up and get an opinion.
Yes.
And, you know, whether it's purchasing a piece of land somewhere, whether it's going on a vacation, whether it's buying a new car, whether it's insurance. I mean, these things are all related. So to take one aspect or one spoke of that wheel and remove that and do it just as yourself, I don't know. If that's the case, then you should be a financial planner.
Yeah.
And if you're that good, then do it.
And likely will end up costing you a lot more than that small difference in advisory fee. And that's a good point.
You guys always come in here and talk about people who don't have time to do this or neglect or procrastinate or whatever. So you've got to keep your eye on this ball all the time you're going
to
do it.
It's easy to skip over something or miss something. And so, again, we're coming back to their six disciplines to financial planning, and what we're talking about is this one discipline about investments and managing that. It's an important piece. It's a big component of it, but it's the added value of those other five pieces that really help you with your outcome. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. One of the products that's been very successful for us as an investment product is something we call our iProfile. Mm-hmm. And iProfile is a, if you want to call it like an ETF, but we call them pooled funds. So these are a hybrid, a mutual fund in the context of that. But it basically allows us to create a pool of money and be able to then go out and hire the best in class people to be able to manage certain components of it. Yeah. And just in terms of transparency, the basic cost or the MER, management expense ratio, for this type of product, and this would be for an individual, we'll call it a balanced portfolio, which would have 40% of the money in fixed income, so the sort of more conservative, stable piece, 60% in equity or stocks, and the total cost would be about 0.468%, 0.468%. Mm-hmm. And I went online to Questrade, which is one of these commercials, to see what are they charging, and they're charging 0.42%. So that's an MER and then an ETF fee for a total of 0.42%, and I don't know if that includes HST. So if we add HST to this 0.468, we come out to 0.53%, and so we're off by maybe 0.06 or 0.08% between what Questrade is charging and what we're charging.
Yeah.
So, but so
between
this is
expert advice and a do-it-yourself.
Well, now, so this is no advice, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
yes. Yeah.
No advice. Yeah. So you're just simply getting a product because you want low cost.
Right.
Something that's low cost with no advice. Mm-hmm. So now you add the advice, and the advice is typically going to be about anywhere from 1% up to about 1.3%, depending on the size of your portfolio. The more you have, the less it's going to cost. There's no doubt about that. So the value then, or the advisory fee, is the fee that's paid to IG Private Wealth, and Don and I are paid out of that. Mm-hmm. And that can also be tax deductible if it's a non-RSP type of account. So the basic all-in type of cost for our services, again, is that 0.5% roughly, including HST, for the investment, and then about 1% for the advice. Mm-hmm. So 1.5% in total. So then you have to weigh, well, am I going to come out 1% ahead with the advice over time or more? And time and time again, we can demonstrate to people that their outcome, what you end up with in terms of your net worth down the road, is significantly higher than that even. It's multiples of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they fall back in these commercials, that they tell you about one part of it, but they don't tell you what the outcome is going to be. What do you actually end up with at the end of the day? And so this iProfile product that is an important component of what we do, I just want to go through how much is involved and what the disciplines are behind this. And the investment world has been changing. There's no doubt about that. And so we're sort of at the forefront with this particular product in a number of different ways. And the key thing is just trying to understand, or getting access to, the best-in-class expertise.
Right.
Who are the smartest people out there that have the capacity and the skill and the track record to produce higher returns with lower risk?
Mm-hmm.
So we call these a higher risk-adjusted return. So what that means is you're getting a higher return, but with less volatility.
Right.
So there are less ups and downs. With a higher return, it's a perfect scenario, right? That's obviously what we're always trying to do from day one. And then what Don and I will do is we will monitor that mix of investments. So I was talking about a 60-40 type of mix, and we will understand or take a look at to see how far off your mix might be, and we might give advice and recommendations to rebalance your portfolio from time to time, depending on tax implications and depending on the timing in the market, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about a portfolio today, you're either probably focused on growth, you still want your money to grow, or you're focused on income, you're retired and you're looking to generate income for yourself, or maybe it's a blend of both. And so the type of portfolio that you're going to end up with is going to be dictated a little bit from that perspective. And so what we did is we create five different pools. Mm-hmm. And the five pools are our fixed income pool, which is all your investments that are could be bonds, real estate, mortgages, corporate bonds, government bonds, international bonds, et cetera. So that's all your fixed income type investments. And then we get into equities, and you would have emerging markets, international stocks, U.S. stocks, and Canadian stocks. And there's also a money market class. But mm-hmm. those five pools then allow us the building blocks to create a portfolio which is designed to either be growth, income, a blend, mm-hmm. and then also properly diversified geographically.
Right.
And then what we then look at too is the steps to understand the diversification within that, and that's going to be style, market capitalization, and geography. And we're going to come back and talk more about it, I know.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox are here from IG Private Wealth Management. We're coming right back. We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox are here from IG Private Wealth Management. Check out the website at andyanddon.com, or you can give them a call now. Leave a message. They'll return your call. 905-529-7165. We're talking about cost versus outcome.
So we're trying to compare or get a help listeners understand the difference between owning an ETF or we've heard Wealthsimple or Questrade. There's a number of different companies out there that are really pushing a low-cost alternative. Mm-hmm. And we have low-cost alternatives. The issue around low-cost means you have no advice. Mm. And in general, when you talk to any of
I wasn't even aware you guys offered that.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk to our prospective clients about the cost versus outcome, almost always people come back to they prefer outcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they understand or they actually delve into sure. it enough to see, okay, here's what the costs are. They're basically the same. But I'm really looking for outcome.
Yeah.
And what's most important to me is reaching my goals
yeah,
and getting to where I want to go and being in a better position mm-hmm. with a more confident retirement. And a more successful retirement versus just focusing in on cost.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing is quite interesting with the ETF. How often will an ETF beat the market?
Mm.
Never. It cannot beat the market because what it's doing is represents the market. So if the market does, let's say last year was a negative 8% year in the Canadian market as an example, well, then there's a cost to own that ETF. So then you take that off. So it actually lost, say, minus 8.5%. So it's always going to be 0.5% under the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so an active manager could beat the market some years. It may actually even outperform ETFs. But what they say in these commercials, they're always assuming we're going to do poorer than they are because yeah. their costs are less.
Yeah.
But the rate of returns could actually be greater
yeah.
in a managed portfolio. But they never assume that. They just make it assume, well, the costs are less, and they're assuming everything else is the same, and that the return will be simply whatever the return of the market is, less the fees of investing.
How cranky do you guys get when you're watching these spots and then the financial advisor across the desk doesn't come up with this sort of stuff? He just sits and goes, well, okay, see you later.
That's the best part. You're right. There's no
Perhaps
rebuttal.
You have the bad financial planner there for not bringing this up or challenging you.
Well, I was just coming back to talking about a product that we use called iProfile. And of course, buying any product, today the regulators require us to send you a fun fax, which gives you all the details. We talked about the transparency around fees, et cetera. And when you're building an investment and an ETF and even a managed ETF where they try and make some a shift to the investments, and that tends to cost a little more as well, are different than what we're trying to do here with our iProfile product. And the key thing around iProfile is that we're trying to provide proper diversification, and proper diversification includes value type investments, growth type investments. It includes investments based on market capitalization. So there's small companies, mid-sized companies, large companies. But when you look at all of that, plus the geographic diversification that I talked about, the different geographic areas around the world. So there's a process in place that we use to identify who are the best people in the world to be able to manage each of those little segments that I talked about.
Right.
So the first thing that we do, step one, is identifying all the potential asset managers for each of those asset classes. So we scan the universe available to identify those prospective candidates, and we begin a review and a screening process. Step two is to assess the asset manager using a what we call a quantitative criteria. So we their performance against a benchmark. How have they been doing? Do they have a sound portfolio construction? What has been the portfolio characteristics they've been using? And what about the risk analysis? How volatile have they been over time? Step three is to assess each of those prospective asset managers using qualitative criteria. So have they been successful and thorough in their philosophy? What's their overall experience and stability of the organization? Are they diversified in terms of their expertise? Do they have a low turnover in terms of their personnel? And what's the depth of research that they have as well? And step four is the monitoring and adjusting as necessary. So we continue to review each of these asset managers' performance against those benchmarks. We have a formal review process where we have specified interviews, which are typically quarterly, to understand are they still meeting the objectives that we're looking for. And then we have an asset manager replacement process if the performance becomes a concern. And it's kind of like a red light, yellow light, green light scenario in terms of their performance. So when we broke that down into who have we actually picked today, some of the best managers in the world, and I'll read through a few of them just to give you an idea. So one is BlackRock, and BlackRock today is a leading global asset manager. They manage almost $6 trillion U.S. dollars on behalf of investors around the world. They're headquartered in New York, but they operate in 30 countries and 70 cities around the world. Jarislowsky Fraser, a Canadian name, they manage about $39 billion for institutions here in Canada, pension managers, etc.
That's an interesting point, Andy, is a lot of these times you cannot go and get these managers on your own anyway, because they're not a retail, you just can't buy it.
Right.
They have to be part of a pension fund that offers them, or in our case, this high profile.
And I just talked about a four-step process. And are you going to be able to go in and interview BlackRock and review their quarterly performance in terms of your investment portfolio? J.P. Morgan Asset Management, one of the world's largest asset manager and the global leader. They're managing over $2.6 trillion U.S. around the world. We have Mackenzie Financial, a Canadian company here, managing $65 billion in assets. We have PIMCO. PIMCO is one of the world's premier fixed income investment managers. They manage about $2 trillion in assets, 14 offices around the globe, 2,300 professionals within the organization doing research, etc. Putnam Investments is another one. And again, another big U.S. investment money manager, world global asset manager with $170 billion in assets. So we have picked the best in class for each of these areas. We continue to monitor the process. And when it comes back to you as an individual, then we can get into a sort of customized, tax-efficient approach to how we build an high-profile investment for you as well.
We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox are here from IG Private Wealth Management. We're coming right back. We are planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox are here from IG Private Wealth Management. You can call them now and leave a message at 905-529-7165 and take a peek at their website at andyanddon.com. That's andyanddon.com. We're talking about Canada Pension Plan critics and why they're wrong.
Yes. They've improved Canada Pension Plan lately. It's just kicking in this year where they've increased your contributions.
Right.
So what we're finding is some of the small business owners are getting advice that, well, instead of paying yourself a salary, pay yourself a dividend. And that way you don't have to contribute to that terrible Canada Pension Plan. And, you know, it's costing you so much. And also, unfortunately, you will not also be able to put money into RSPs because it's not considered earned income. But that's besides the point. That's just a sidebar. And I look at this and I'm actually going out and telling clients, small business owners, the exact opposite. There's a lot of value in a Canada Pension Plan. And I look at it as a building block of your retirement. We do have your old age security. Well, that's if you are earning less than $76,000 a year, so you don't get any clawbacks, so you'll get X amount is about $607 a month at 65. And you can put that off till 70 if it makes sense. But Canada Pension Plan has been a really good model on how to get people to save for retirement, because you have no choice. Mm-hmm. If you are working somewhere, or even if you're self-employed, as long as you're getting a salary, you have to pay into Canada Pension Plan. And the employers and the employees have to pay into this. So they are going to be gradually rising over the next 7 years. Mm-hmm. So you're going to feel the pains a little bit more every year. So, and the full benefits, the people that actually will get the first year that they finally get the full benefits of this increase in contributions will be 2065.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So we will not see a whole lot
of
this.
That means we're out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a way.
Back to the first segment.
Yeah. I will be 102.
Yeah.
And according to my last segment,
what was your percentage?
That's about 7% chance. Ooh, that's maybe accurate. Less, actually. I can go back and look at that, but it won't be high.
I think you're in the negatives.
No wonder you're a critic of Canada Pension Plan.
No, I like it.
Oh, okay. Actually,
so the maximum right now, maximum in 2008 is $13,000. This is the amount you could collect, $13,610 a year, which works out to $1,134 a month. Now, in 2008 dollars, so in today's dollars, if you contribute this extra layer of Canada Pension Plan, you'll get another $7,140 a year. Mm-hmm. So your grand total will be $20,750 a year in today's dollars, albeit in 2065.
Right.
For those people. So your kids, when they retire, they will have this income. Now you look at that and say, well, that works out to $1,729 a month. So you've gone from $1,134 to $1,729 a month. That's a 52% increase. Mm. Okay. Now with the longevity, the increases in longevity and people are living longer, as we talked about, there's a lot of...
Living to 120 by then.
No kidding. No kidding. So you can delay your Canada Pension Plan till 70, and you'll get a 42% increase. Mm-hmm. And that work turns out to practically a $30,000 per year pension in today's dollars. Okay? And that's $2,455 a month. So if you had you and your spouse both had this contributed fully to Canada Pension Plan, you're getting practically $5,000 a month mm-hmm. today, in today's dollars. That's not so bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I'm a big fan of the Fraser Institute, but in this case, I think they've gone a little overboard, because they really like people to just have full control mm-hmm. of their finances and not contribute to this, because they've looked at the return of Canada Pension Plan, and it works out to a 2.5% return, which they consider meager. Mm-hmm. In their words. And I look at that and say, yeah, it's not the best, 2.5%, but it's definitely better than a GIC, because mm-hmm. you're going to actually run out of money if you had it in a guaranteed area. And this is guaranteed. The CPP, right now, it will not run out for 75 years today, and they're going to keep adding to it.
Right.
So it's well-funded. It insulates people from mistakes. And Andy was talking about that earlier, about people selling in December mm-hmm. and doing the wrong things. So people's returns are actually a lot lower than they think, because they'd make a lot of errors. They get too greedy, or they get too scared. You don't have to worry about running out. You can live to 120, like you said, because it'll continue going right to the end of your life.
Yeah.
And there's also the possibility of a survivor benefit. If your spouse does not collect a full amount, he or she would get survivor benefits of that. You don't have to worry about the stock market. It's just a nice check shows up every day. It's just like the teacher's pension or police officer's pension or nurse's pension. It's adjusted for inflation too. So you do have it indexed all the way through. So that there's a lot of benefits with CPP. And so you look at performance of investments. And if you are a conservative investor, you still have to have 25% in the stock market, and your rate of return would be forecasted about 3.2%. Mm-hmm. If you're moderate, you'd be 50-50. That's a 3.9% return. Even if you're an aggressive investor in retirement, 75% in stocks, 25% fixed income, you're making 4.7%. Certainly better than the 2.5, but there's risk with this.
Yeah.
Okay. And you also have that sequence of return risk that we talked about earlier, that if you retired and you have some negative years right off the beginning, well, you can't, your portfolio could have gone down a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you do have to manage that. This is the nice thing. So right now in Canada, 2/3 of people do not have pensions, and therefore, like a defined benefit plan. So they have to have some kind of pension. And this is why they have done this. I always like people saving, But if you were to have this extra dollars in your pocket, the Fraser Institute basically says they would save this extra money. We know that. Andy and I work with people every day. You might be the 5% of people might save that extra dollar.
Yeah.
The 95% would spend most of that or some of that. And therefore, they wouldn't have as much as that money in the Canada Pension Plan. So what I'm looking at is we have to look after the 95% and not the 5%. And that's not the real world. So we look after the ones that it's your pension. It's part of your overall net worth. It will give you carefree money every month. And so that's why I'm a big fan of it. This, along with all the other things that Andy and I provide, will get you to retirement.
Anyone want to add into that for the next 20 seconds?
You can.
All right, we'll take it from here. We have been planning your financial future. I'm Scott Thompson. Andy Lister and Don Fox have been here from IG Private Wealth Management. You can check out their website at andyanddon.com. That's andyanddon, all one word, .com. There you can listen to old shows or ask a question via the listener inquiry button. Also, give them a call right now. Leave a message. They'll return your call during business hours. 905-529-7165. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Scott. Take care.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.